Well, say with me, today's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, come on. And be glad in it. All right. Now turn to your neighbor and say, hang in there. It's going to get better. All right. Y'all watch the screens. Now let's close in prayer. All right, I'm going to come down here. I believe in intimacy. How about y'all? Okay, I just feel better coming down here instead of up there. Can anybody in here relate to that? I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like no matter how well you planned, all right, no matter how many times you rehearsed, no matter how many times you did it, it just doesn't seem to work out. All right, has anybody ever experienced that besides me? Where you get that? Has anybody in here ever felt a sense of hopelessness? Where it just seemed like, I'm not even done, the hands are going up, all right? Where the circumstances just seem like they're just so overwhelming, there's just no hope in sight, all right? It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And you sit there and you say, okay, I know what the Word says, but I tell you what, I'll be darned if I can see it. Has anybody in there felt like that? Okay, well, good, then I got the crew that I'll need to talk to tonight. All right, now, this is what we're going to do. You know, I've always felt that, you know, From a teaching standpoint, you know, I hear pastors all the time tell you what you're supposed to do and how you should conduct yourself and all that, but sometimes we don't get the how-to, and I don't know about you, but I'm a nuts and bolts type guy. You know, it's like, okay, don't just tell me what I have to do. Can you help me? Show me how to get there, okay? Show me what I need to do, all right, to get there, because if I already knew that, I probably wouldn't be in the boat I'm in. Anybody, amen to that, all right? It's true. All right, so, you know, while we may think we've got all the answers, and I've been there too, and I thought I had all the answers, but my answers just didn't seem to be working. So tonight we're going to kind of give you some answers, some nuts and bolts, and this is some pretty basic stuff, all right, but I want you to really take it to heart and pay attention, okay? There's a dual purpose in this, and we're going to talk about some things that are going to help us, all right, get through, all right, the times where the hopelessness seems to overwhelm us. Is that a fair deal? Does everybody want to hear about that, how to get through? Because I'm going to talk from personal experience. You know, and I've often said, you know, you've heard that pastors typically preach out of their own experience. And a lot of times we have a tendency to air out some negative stuff over what happened the previous week. You know what I'm saying? Where, you know, if we've been offended by somebody in the church, you know, we kind of surreptitiously, that's, you know, kind of sneakily get up there and, you know, fight back verbally over, you know, the offense that occurred during the week. And we do a lot of things, okay, out of personal experience. But I tell you what, all right, there's nothing wrong with teaching and preaching out of personal experience if it's with the right motivations. You know, over the past 8 weeks, I had the opportunity to teach a class called Wounded Parents, Wounded Kids. And a little commercial here that will be coming again. That's going to be a recurring opportunity. And I would encourage all of you to avail yourself of this, not just, it doesn't matter if you have little ones right now or not, all right? We covered the whole gamut from parenting, all right, all the way up to dealing with issues that we have as adults that result from how we were parented, okay, and getting beyond the pains and the hurts of the past, right, and breaking what we've referred to in the past as generational curses, you know, and that's the networking, okay? That's your mother passing on the pains from her mother, and her mother from her mother, and so on and so forth, okay? So just a little commercial there, stay tuned, that's gonna come up, all right? And we talk a lot in that class, all right? I had a personal experience, all right? And I've made it a rule in my life, you know, that I will never offer or suggest anything to anybody else that I haven't already done myself or I'm not willing to do. Is that fair enough? Because I tell you, we can sit up there and we can preach and tell everybody else how to do it, all right? But it's a whole different issue whether or not we'll do it or have done it. And I don't know about you, sometimes I like to put the speaker under the microscope. You know, I got to sit there and, okay, let's see, what's this guy all about? Is he really as strong? Does he have the credentials? You know, where's he, you know, what's the deal here, you know? Has anybody ever felt like that? You kind of listen to the guy, you know, the new guy, and say, oh, well, all right, we'll see if he's the real deal, all right? Well, sometimes that analysis, we call it the paralysis of analysis, gets in the way of what you're really needing to hear, okay? Amen? Everybody agree with that? All right, so we're going to cover a lot of territory tonight, so you all stick with me, all right? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit at first about spiritual growth. Is anybody up in here ready to grow spiritually? Yeah. Or anybody who does not want to grow spiritually, all right? Because if you don't, you're going to stay where you are, all right? And I've heard it said before, you know, years ago, I had a business, Patty and I were in a business, and we used to go to seminars all the time, and one of the famous things they used to say was, you are where you are because you want to be. And I was totally offended by that. You know, I came out of a corporate position. I looked like I had everything, but I was miserable. I was miserable. Not only professionally, spiritually, in a lot of areas. I was happy in my marriage, but I was just miserable. And I just, you know, I am where, no, I'm not. All these circumstances, you know, I served in the military, I was an ex-law enforcement officer, I did all these things, I did all the right things. I was taught to go to college, get a good education, get a good job, or whatever, stay with the same company forever, be diligent, tithe, do all that kind of stuff, and everything's going to be all right. Well, guess what? It didn't work out that way. So I'm wondering, what's the deal? Anybody ever said that? What's the deal? Everybody say with me, what's the deal? All right. Now listen, you getting an answer? All right, that's the question. You know, the thing is, the answer is coming, but we're just not necessarily hearing. All right, and I tell you, answers I've found in my experience come in two different packages. One where he speaks actually in their heart and one where he doesn't speak. All right, has anybody ever been there where you just weren't hearing anything? Okay, well, good. Well, hopefully tonight you hear something. Let's talk about, all right, tear the place up. We okay? All right. I hope nobody falls out of the chairs or anything while we're doing this. All right, let's talk about, if we can put up, all right, some notes here. We're going to talk about 6 steps to spiritual growth, all right? And then we're going to get into the crux of this whole thing. You're going to say, well, what in the world does that have to do with getting through the tough times? Well, it has everything to do with it. It has everything to do with it because 2 things are going to happen. All right, you're going to need some spiritual growth initiated in order to fare well in the tough times, all right, and you're going to grow spiritually as a result of going through the tough times, all right, and probably you're going to grow more through the tough times than you did before. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, a while back I did a sermon series on called Dancing in the Rain, seeing the sun, that's Jesus, through the clouds, and we gave this ABCs of storm preparation as preparing. All right, and then we talked about when the storm happens, all right, and then we talked about when the clouds clear. All right, well, so hopefully tonight when we leave here, all right, the clouds will start to clear. 6 keys to spiritual growth. Everybody taking notes? If you don't, write it on the soles of your feet, in your palm of your hand somewhere, but just get this, all right, please. And it's not for me. I mean, I strongly encourage you, if you've not become a note taker up to this point, become one. And if you're not writing it down, at least make a mental note. Can you all do that? Everybody in here got a photographic memory? I used to, but something happened when I turned 50, and it went away. But anyway, here we go. Number one, making the choice to obey God's command to grow. Making the choice. It's a choice. We have to decide and choose to grow. Okay, why should we do that? Well, it's biblical. Okay? To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in 2 Peter 3:18. Talks about choosing to grow. It's a command to grow in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to grow in the knowledge of Him, all right, in Him and through Him, all right? Now, we're going to go fast. Number 2, believing you are capable of growth. Believing you're capable of growth. Okay, you got to believe you can do it, or you're done before you even get started, Okay? And of course, in the key here is with God's help. With God's help. All right? And the support for that is in Philippians 4, 13, verse 13. Now, what I'll do is I'll give you scripture references for just about everything. We won't read all of them for time constraints, but if you would, just jot them down. And what I would suggest is later on, pull them out, all right? Look at them. Pray before you start reading and say, Lord, speak to me through this, okay? As well as anything else I say tonight, filter it through the Word of God, okay? First, and then ask Him to support it, enhance it any way, you know, he needs to in your life, okay? All right, there we go. All right, number three, setting behavioral and functional goals. Setting behavioral and functional goals, that's developing a Christ-like behavior. Ooh. Christ-like behavior. What's that? That's acting like we're supposed to, like decent human beings. And sometimes we don't always do that. We really don't. Sometimes we don't. All right. Determining and developing our function in the body. And that's in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Trying to get a feel for, praying for, we used to call it years ago, I think Rick Warren coined the phrase, our shape. It was an acronym for basically what we were called to do as we perceived it, okay? And where we were supposed to be within the body, our function within the body of Christ, within the church, specifically, more specifically, within the local church, okay? Now, number four, developing habits that help you obtain your goals, okay? Habits to change our behavior. And what are they? They could be Bible reading, prayer, church attendance. Wow, that's a novel idea. You actually have to come. Yeah. All right? You can't receive if you don't come. Okay? And then service. That's serve in the church. Do something. Do something. Because you'll be miserable if you don't. There's not a soul in here can honestly say, all right, if you profess to be born again, that you didn't get a divine desire to serve and to do something for the kingdom. Yeah. And if that occurred, all right, or if it didn't occur, come see me after. Because I'm missing something, okay? You get that desire to serve, all right, to serve. Developing habits that help you obtain your goals. Now, maintaining a positive attitude about the value of your efforts, believing they are significant and sustainable, okay? You know, that has to go with self-esteem sometimes. I mean, it's related, all right? Believe that what you're doing is significant and sustainable. In other words, you can maintain it. You can continue to do it, regardless of what the world says or what your circumstances say. All right? Believe that you can do it. All right? Maintaining a positive attitude. And six, perseverance or endurance. Sticking to it. Refusing to quit. Hanging in there. You know, before we started, we looked to each other, to our neighbors, and we said, hang in there. It's going to get better. All right, now did you say that just because I told you to say that, or did you really feel it in your heart? All right, hang in there. Probably not, and I wouldn't expect you to. You know, you're just following what I encouraged you to do, what I prodded you to do, to say, hang in there. Well, I wanted you to confess it and hear yourself say it in advance. Hang in there. It's going to get better, because it will. All right, it will if you believe it will. All right, is everybody with me so far? Perseverance or endurance, sticking to it, refusing to quit, hanging in there. You know, the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 10 and chapter 12 all needed to have that endurance. And it talks about that. And I would suggest that you go to the book of Hebrews, all right, and read the entire chapter 10 and 12, all right? So you can put this within the context, all right, of a real life situation, all right? How God moved in the lives of Hebrew Christians, that's Jewish Christians, okay? All right, now, part of the Christ-like attitude or qualities that Peter speaks about, 2 Peter 1, 5, okay? Are extremely important, okay? In that we are to pursue and develop these things in order to be effective and productive. Actually, the word says ineffective and unproductive. So the converse to that is if we follow that and we pursue the qualities, the Christ-like qualities, what's going to happen? It would stand to reason you're going to be effective and productive. All right, now I don't know about you, but I want to be effective and productive. I don't want, has anybody in here ever cleaned the house and, I'm looking at some of you guys, cleaned the house, all right, and expected it to stay that way for a little while? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it ever? No. All right, because your family comes in and messes it up all the time, all right? You know what I love? You know, making the bed and then having somebody just come in and just jump on it and say, oh, man. You know, because I don't know about you, but bed making does not come easy to me. I'm ex-military, and they taught us how to make beds, but I cheated, all right? I slept on top of the bed, so when the bell rang in the morning, actually it was a trash can and a trumpet or whatever, all right, I would just jump out of bed, roll under the bed, and pull the sheets and everything through the springs real tight and stand up ready to go. And they say, are you crazy? Well, hey, you do what you got to do, all right? So I don't know. I'm not really, that's not one of my favorite things to do is make beds. But if I did make one, and I do, I'd want it to stay that way, wouldn't you? And you're thinking, now what in the world does that have to do with anything? Probably nothing. I just thought it sounded good. All right. Now, let's put up some quotes. Have we got those? Okay. Henri Nouwen, all right, has gone on to see the Lord, but he is a renowned author, an incredible man of God. He was actually a Roman Catholic priest, all right, that seemed to operate outside of the normal constraints. Doctrinally, he was truly Catholic, but his thought process theologically went well beyond what the Catholic Church typically taught in terms of Bible teaching, all right? And I tell you what, it's incredible. Years ago, I had the opportunity to read a number of his works. He's written a bunch of books, right? It started out as required reading, all right, in my theological studies, all right? But I the more I read, the more he spoke to me. So I'm going to use him a lot tonight. Is that okay? Because I tell you what I think. If he speaks to me, he's going to speak to you all. Because I'm nothing special. I'm just the average guy that gets out in the morning or gets up in the morning, and when my feet hit the floor, I have to purpose every day to be what I'm supposed to be. All right? I don't stand before you as anybody that's arrived spiritually. I work at it every day. Every hour, I have to remind myself of who I am in Christ and what I'm supposed to be. Now, do I always get there? No. But I purpose to, and that's important, okay? It's important, all right? All right, here we go. Now, the real reason why I put the pulpit down here is so I could walk over to the screen and actually see it, because I'm somewhat blind. Now, when I typed this message, I did it like on, 16 font or whatever, which is like this big, all right, on my computer screen, but for some reason, our new copy machine wants to reduce it to 0.05. So everything I've got in front of me, I can hardly see, so that's why we've got it up here. It says, you are an heir to the kingdom. You are an heir to the kingdom. Prosperity is your birthright. What does that mean? That means you have a right. It's a done deal. Prosperity. Now, does that mean just necessarily money? No. It means everything. Okay? Prosperity in terms of success in your endeavors, in your marriages, in your relationships, in your finances, in everything you do. Prosperity is just not dollars and cents. I know we have a lot of folks out there on the airways that teach prosperity messages and lead you to believe that if you do certain things, you're going to become rich or whatever. Well, richness isn't confined to dollars and cents, folks. Because I tell you what, I went from big bucks to not so big bucks. And I tell you what, I'm more financially sound now today, all right, semi-retired, that's medically, not because I wanted to, all right, than I ever was before. I'm happier and more financially sound than I've ever been, all right, with, ready for this? Probably, I don't know, less than 20% of what I used to make. And I'm none the worse for it, and I'm much better. Yeah, that's a big difference. But anyway, besides me, okay? Prosperity is your birthright, and you hold the key to more abundance in every area of your life than you can possibly imagine. What does it say? Every word I see in that resounds in my mind is you. And that doesn't mean you get into the me mode. What I'm trying to say is that you hold the key. Pastor Parkey talked about it earlier before, about God gives you the opportunities, but you got to open the doors. Okay, so that's why this is in the context of you. You are an heir, okay? Prosperity is your birthright, okay? And you hold the key, all right? You hold the key. You can unlock it, all right? Let's look at the second quote. Hopefully these things are as encouraging to you as they are to me. On the way to express the spiritual crisis of our time, one way rather, see, I already can't read. It's not because the word's written right, I just can't see it. One way to express the spiritual crisis of our time is to say that most of us have an address but cannot be found there. And you'll say, what in the world does that mean? Well, anybody ever heard that saying, well, I pray and pray, but God must have lost my address? Anybody ever heard that? We've heard that. I've said it before. Did he lose my address? Well, no, he didn't lose it. It's just that I wasn't at it. So think about the one before that. If we're heirs, all right, that can be a place in our thought process, in our hearts, right, where we were born to be, but we have chosen for whatever reason not to occupy. So we've got an address, we're just not residing there. Pretty deep, pretty neat stuff. I'll tell you what, this guy now, and this is just a small part of the stuff he comes, I don't know where he gets this, but it's true, okay? Most of us have an address, but we can't be found there. That's your God-given address. That's where you were intended to be, all right? And who holds the key? Who holds the key? We do. That's right, each one of you. All right, number three, bring up the third quote. All right, waiting is a dry desert between where we are and where we want to be. Does everybody agree with that? Now, don't confuse that with waiting on the Lord, okay, and being patient. It's a totally different thing. This has everything to do with, you know, moaning and groaning, all right, or wallowing in our own self-pity. Anybody ever done that? Or am I just the only one? Sit there and say, oh, woe is me, or whatever, and I sit and I wait and I wait and wait, all right, and pray, and like it's just going to fall out of the sky. Well, sometimes it does, but more times than not, you got to get something going. He gives you things to do, all right? You just have to do them, all right? And things happen. Does everybody want something to happen? I do. All kinds of stuff happens when you get going. All right. Now, let's take a few minutes and examine perseverance, because that's what it's all about, folks. Learning how to persevere, how to endure, how to get through it, all right, when it seems hopeless, when everything you do just seems to fall by the wayside and be of no significance or no consequence, it's just unproductive. I'm trying. I'm looking at several folks here that I know personally have experienced this beyond belief right here in this room. All right, and did they deserve it? Not in my estimation, but you know something? You know, the old question is, why does bad things happen to good people? There was a good book written a while back by a rabbi that answered that. He did an excellent job of answering that question, but here's the deal. I choose to believe that God in his sovereign will knows better, right? And if we believe that all things do work to the good, all right, for what? For those that love the Lord or are called according to his purpose, all right? We don't know why. I just choose not to ask. I mean, or let's see this. There's nothing wrong with asking, but I wouldn't dwell there, all right? All I know is this. He knows better than me, and someday I'll get the answer. Does everybody agree with that? Okay, good. All right. I'm going to pause for a second. Anybody falling asleep yet? I couldn't tell anyway. I couldn't see anybody's eyes closed. All right, here we go. The Greek word for perseverance is hupomene, okay? See, I put that phonetic spelling in there so I could remember how to pronounce that. My Greek is, I would say, adequate, but that's about it. Normally, I'm not a Greek scholar, I can tell you that, okay? The Greek word for perseverance is hupomene, which is defined as, next slide, okay? There it is. Steadfastness, constancy, and endurance. Page down. Okay. Nope. Up one. We're missing one. Well, I guess not. Then I'll read it for you. Okay, here it goes. In the New Testament, okay, this is out of Thayer's Lexicon. Okay, Thayer's Lexicon. It's one of the resources that we use, all right, in studying biblical issues, okay? In the New Testament, hupomene, or perseverance, is the characteristic of a man who is not swayed from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety, piety being devotion, reverence, religious conviction, okay, by even the greatest trials and sufferings. That's just a long way of saying he hung in there, okay? Perseverance in the New Testament is referred to as a person that beyond their circumstances, in spite of their circumstances, has been able to persevere, all right, to stick with it, to hang in there, to see the end before it seems possible, okay? See the end before it happens. And that's what hope is, right? Isn't that basically the hope? Seeing the promises of God before they happen? Mm-hmm. That's faith, too. Now, what's the difference between faith and hope? Think about that. Think about that. Do you have to have faith to hope? Or do you hope first and then faith happens? I don't know. Think about that. That's a homework assignment. You all ponder that, and then give me your answer next week, okay? All right, here we go. Now, if our goal is truly spiritual growth, all right, let's look at some reasons why we need to persevere, to stay with it, hang in there, all right? First, here we go. You ready? Maintaining perseverance. We're going to skip a whole bunch here. I'll tell you what. I think what we're going to do is, since my slides don't coincide with my message like they're supposed to, and that's none of their fault, that's mine apparently, all right? But anyway, here we go. Listen, why do we need perseverance? First, spiritual growth takes time, okay? And if we quit too soon, we're going to cut ourselves short in the growth process, very simply. It takes time to learn the Word of God, learn what is expected of each one of us as Christians, and to learn what areas of service or what place we have within the body, all these things. It takes time to discern these things, all right? If we don't have perseverance, we don't hang in there long enough, we're never going to find out. We're going to come in, we're going to say, okay, this is what I want to do, and if it doesn't happen immediately, we're going to go off and leave, and nothing's going to happen. We're going to sink into depression, and we're going to get right back into that sense of hopelessness. I don't know about you, but I've been in that cycle. Anybody in here impatient? Okay, come on, get a hands up. Everybody is. I am. I consider myself patient, but I'm not. You ever hear that joke, Lord, give me patience and I want it now? All right, that's exactly right. I want it now, sooner rather than later. Now, why else do we need perseverance? It takes time to develop, to mature, all right, to develop a Christ-like character, to develop or find a place within the body, within the church, within our local church. All right, now, so unless we persevere, there's going to be an inadequate time to grow. Inadequate time to grow. So if we have an inadequate time to grow, growth doesn't occur, obviously, so that means we're not going to fare very well when the tough times come. It's just like the ABCs of storm preparation, you know? Like, we lived in Florida for a while, and, you know, we got down there, and, you know, we asked, what about the hurricanes? They go, oh, don't worry about it. We haven't had a hurricane this far inland, you know, in 50 years. 3 months later, we had sustained winds of 70 miles an hour in our backyard for 3 days solid and five hurricanes that followed that. And like, you got to be kidding me. You know, and by the way, our friends down there tease us. They call back and say, you know, since you and Patty left, we hadn't had a hurricane, which is true. I'm like, what's up with, I got a t-shirt. I have a t-shirt and it's got a picture of Florida and it's got every one of the hurricanes that we survived all named down there. Oh, there's like eight of them. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. You haven't lived until you've gone through a hurricane or rode it out in the house. They didn't give you an evacuation warning because we were that far away, but we didn't anticipate what was going to happen because those things never, well, I don't say never, they very rarely track the way they expect them to. The models are great, but, you know, there's that element of surprise. That's what makes it fun. Makes it fun. It's great. No air conditioners at 100 degrees. 100% humidity, no restroom facilities, no lights, curfew, you can't go out when the winds exceed 50 miles an hour. They pull the police off the road. It's fun. It's fun. All right, here we go. Spiritual growth requires repetition. Repetition. Now, the thing is, we get repetition mastered, but it's usually in the wrong areas. We do the same things over and over and over and over, all right? And we expect different results. We're just doing the wrong things sometimes by repetition. Now, does that mean you're doing everything wrong? No. It just means sometimes we have to reevaluate, all right? Listen, all right? And then do the things we know in our heart we're supposed to do and stick with it. Repeat them. Repetition. Repetition. Repetition is implied in the principle of the reaping and sowing that we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay? It takes repetition to overcome mistakes. Wow. Not repetition to commit the same mistake more, but repetition not to commit the same mistakes. Okay? It takes a purposeful effort. Okay? Because mistakes are common when we start anything. Okay? And let's say this. Okay? If you embark on this new road, and by the way, I heard it said one time that if you get off the road, all right, that's not a bad thing, right? Because when you get back on the road, you just get back on where you came off. You don't go all the way back to the beginning where you started, right? So that's encouraging to me. So don't think that just because you get off the road or get out of whack that you necessarily have to go all the way back to where you started and work all the way forward again. No, you get back on the road where you left it. Everybody's just looking at me like, huh? Does that make sense? It does for me. I'll tell you what, anything that I can hear or breathe into my spirit to give me encouragement, I'm all for. I don't know about you, but I'm all for it. So I'm big on sayings and encouragements or whatever. I don't want anything false, but I'll tell you what, you've got two options. We can either get depressed and say it's never going to happen, or we can choose to keep the positive attitude we talked about before, all right? And right, and fill ourselves with positive thoughts and encouragements, because that's what the word's all about encouragement. Encouragement, all right? Encouragement. Repeated efforts help determine whether one is suited for a particular task. Sometimes it's just not where you're supposed to be, okay? If you're embarking on a particular area and things just aren't going right, and I'm not suggesting you just quit because it gets a little tough, but maybe it would take a reevaluation. Pray about it and see. Maybe we're not exactly where we're supposed to be. Okay? Now, don't confuse that with serving where the need is. All right? When the pastor comes and says, listen, I need you to help out in children's church, you go, oh, no, that's not where I'm supposed to be. Well, if you're called to serve, you serve where the need is for a season, all right? You experience some growth, all right, knowing that at some point in time, you're going to get positioned, he's going to put you where you know in your heart you're supposed to be, and then the sense of fulfillment. And I'll tell you what, you're going to get fulfillment if you go in with an open heart and an open mind, okay? Children's church, some people will say, I'd rather take a good old-fashioned barnyard butt-whipping, all right, than go take care of kids or change diapers. I've heard guys like, I don't even change my own children's diapers. Never mind. Well, not that we allow guys to change diapers in this church, but I use that for example purposes. All right? But just open your mind. Open your mind. Avail yourself of opportunities. It takes repetition to hone or develop skills. Sharpening our knowledge in the use of the Word of God. Well, that's a novel idea. All right? Or sharpening our abilities and functional skills. All right? And all these are talked about in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 through 11. All right? Now, unless we are persistent, we will never progress through the repetition. That's a long way, just one way of saying you're not going to go anywhere if you don't keep going. You're going to stay where you are. And you've heard it said before, if you're not stretching, you're not growing, right? So what does that say? You got to do some things that are uncomfortable and withstand some discomfort. Has anybody in here ever been uncomfortable? Or experience discomfort, or downright misery, pain, physical or emotional? Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? You're here. We're sitting here. And I tell you what, that's what I have to remind myself sometimes. No matter how bad it gets, I have to look around and say, you know, I'm living, I'm breathing. I've had a meal. You know, I mean, just take stock of what we have. All right? Hang in there. It's going to get better. Hang in there. It's going to get better. Spiritual growth can regress. Regression is implied in Jesus' words to the Ephesians in Revelation 2. All right? Verse 4 through 5. You persevered and endured hardships, but forsaken your first love. All right? You've endured, but you've forsaken your first love. Okay? Now think about that. I could expand on that, but I think it's important, kind of an interactive teaching, that each one of you do something, all right? So I'm going to give you that scriptural reference again and go to the book of Revelation, read that, and see what it speaks to you about your first love. Who should your first love be? All right? And if you don't put him first, if your vertical relationship isn't right, all the horizontal stuff will never fall in line. It's just that simple. It won't. Oh, you may go for a while and things. You know, anybody in here ever said, why do the people that cheat, lie, steal, make all this money and live in these beautiful homes and ride in luxury cars and go to vacations and yachts, right? Why do they have all those nice things? And here I am going to church, I'm tithing more than 10%, and I'm struggling. Has anybody ever said that? Okay, what does the Apostle Paul say about that? We shouldn't compare. Why? Because it's a dangerous trap. It's a dangerous trap. Because you get your eyes off what? Your first love. Or what your first love should be. And it took me a while to understand that. Jesus has always been a part of my life and Patty's life. But have we always put him first? No. No. You know, my walk in the ministry is a prime example. I was called to full-time ministry in 1990. Through the Episcopal Church, pursuing holy orders in the Episcopal Church. All right, and everything was fine until I started thinking, okay, all right, this seminary stuff, you know, poverty, you know, corporate world steak, seminary, bread and water, you know, I'm like, and then, all right, the phone rings, and I worked for Winn-Dixie at the time, Winn-Dixie Greenville, okay, which was in South Carolina. Some of you remember Winn-Dixie. All right, and they said, how would you like to go to Texas? And I go, no, all of a sudden my first love went out the window. And I go, well, what are you thinking? How much are we talking? And he told me, it was like three times what I was making. I'm like, are we there yet? And right at that moment, I knew in my heart that I had departed from my first love. But did it matter? Oh, I wish I could say differently, but I didn't. And that's how I got to Texas, folks. 1993. I gave up the priesthood, came out here, struggled with it, and I used the excuse that the Diocese of Fort Worth was in shambles over theological issues, and that was why the reason why I didn't need to be in the Episcopal Church to be a priest anyway. All right? But it soon became apparent to me that I needed to be where people were on fire for Jesus. All right, and the first love was, in fact, the first love, the right one. And that's how I wound up affiliated with this church some 18, 19 years ago. Whatever that is, 18, I can't remember. My math is not all that hot. Okay, now, did I take some deviations in between? Oh, yeah. I took an early retirement from Winn-Dixie in 2002. All right. Worked full-time in ministry, but not formally affiliated with the church. I just did full-time stuff in the ministry. Happier than I've ever been. All right, applied for a bunch of jobs. I left Winn-Dixie because I had an opportunity to be a big vice president, big bucks, six fingers, go to Florida. All right, well, after I left Winn-Dixie, that fell apart. I'm like, okay, this is good. Now I left, could have gone back east, stayed employed like I have been for the last 20 years, and now, you know, I messed up. Long story short, I take a corporate position. Big responsibility, puts me in Florida next to my kids, all right? What do? My first love got set to the side because I sold out once again. Anybody in here ever sold out? Anybody ever here ever, all right, forgot? I don't think that's good English. Has anybody forgotten, all right, who should come first in their lives? I did, sure did. So for 3 years I was down there, but I had the opportunity to be a singles minister, singles pastor, Pat and I, and lead the harvest and altar ministry for a mega church, 8,000 members. Thing was humongous, 65 acres, everything was paid for. They blew out the sanctuary, $1 million, doubled the size of the church, put everybody in the gym to start with, and it's like taking this wall out, blowing around and wrapping the entire thing all the way around the same size again. And they filled it up, paid for it. Just recently, the same church, you ready for this? This is going to make you sick. They just remodeled the youth sanctuary. It's called Room 202. State of the art to begin with. Had MacBooks everywhere for the kids. I mean, this thing, screens, active lights, all the new stuff that we got. I mean, it was beautiful. $92,000. Talked to the pastor not too long ago. 2 weeks into the campaign, they had collected $66,000. In 3 weeks, they had surpassed the $92,000 already paid for. Now they're adding stuff to it. Okay? So where I'm going with this is I get all enamored with that. I'm a mega church, pastors, whatever. But see, in the best of both worlds, I got to travel, all right, 11 states. I had 300 stores responsibility with a major auto parts distributor. And I got to pastor on the weekends. And lay on the beach all weekend. Wasn't it wonderful? But was my first love really first? No, it wasn't. And then in 2006, I came in one day and I had some differences with the higher ups in my company because I knew I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And I told Patty, God's called me back to Texas. Are you with me? Oh, boy. She says, I'm with you. We sell the house. We doubled our money, by the way, on that house. We came here, and then we served for a year pro bono, all right, in ministry, and then founded our own church for a couple years until I got sick, and the pressures of church plant and a few other things, and Patty and I ran into some tough times. And that's no mystery. You all have probably seen that, okay? But I tell you what, and I'll get to that in a minute, about the perseverance and endurance, about me telling you that I would never talk to you about something that I haven't already experienced or been willing to do or hadn't already done, all right? But I want you to know, folks, right, when you don't follow your first love and get the vertical right, the horizontal will always be out of whack. You'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be happy. You'll never be able to experience complete joy. And everything you do is going to be a struggle. Now, when you get it right, does that mean the struggle stops? No, that's not what I'm saying. But they're different struggles. And the victories are different. They're more frequent. The attacks are less frequent. They're shorter in duration. All right? And you prevail quicker when the first love is first love. All right, so in other words, don't regress like I did. Like your parents ever say, do as I say, not as I do? I taught that in the Wounded Parents, Wounded Kids. That kills me. Do as I say, not as I do. We wonder why our kids are astray, because we're out there doing all kinds of stuff we shouldn't do, all right? But we're telling our kids, now, okay, just because mommy and daddy did that doesn't mean you do. Well, why not? All right, if the model is to follow Christ and to be Christ-like, wouldn't it stand to reason that our children should view us as a similar model? Boy, I got quiet. I think we ought to just close there and let me quit while I'm ahead. All right, spiritual growth. Now, that brings us, geez, I like that graphic. Look at that, hang in there. Anybody watch Twilight? Any of the Twilight series? Come on, you can admit it. Just because it's about vampires and werewolves and all that kind of stuff. That cliff just reminds me. Doesn't she jump off of that thing into the water at one point or whatever after those wolves? Anyway, all right. By the way, I got to give kudos to Steve Bollier. Do you know one of those songs that we sang tonight in praise and worship? He wrote the second one. He wrote it. That was beautiful because it came from the heart. Came from the heart, and that's what's special. And God speaks through the writers of songs. That song spoke to me. What about you? Sure did. You're beautiful. right? And if you truly buy into that, that you're beautiful, speaking vertically, right, then your first love remains your first love, doesn't it? It sure does. All right, maintaining perseverance. We're doing good. Everybody good? Who's going to eat after we get done here at service? Raise your hand. Okay. Oh, come on. You're lying. All right. Who's going to have a snack after we quit? All right. There you go. Everybody. All right. Here we go. Maintaining perseverance. Number one, exercise self-control daily. Everybody go, you got to be kidding me. Exercise self-control. That's tough, isn't it? Exercising self-control. Right, there's another word for discipline, self-discipline. Now, what does the Bible say about self-control? Okay, well, there's an urging in 2 Peter 1, verse 6, when it talks about adding to self-control perseverance. Self-control. Has that anything to do with being Christ-like, or at least endeavoring to be? Catching yourself and checking yourself? Got real quiet, like they're, all right, think about that. Self-control. Self-control. And that's daily, folks, daily. Self-control must be exercised one day at a time. Because I tell you, remember I talked about before, as soon as I get out of bed, as soon as I plant my feet, okay, the first thing I do is I go to God. And I didn't always do that. And here's the thing, you know, it doesn't have to be, people say, well, I pray at night. Well, I don't know. I just choose to wake up the first thing I got to do. I have to remind myself who my first love is, so I go to him first before I do anything, all right? But when I put my feet on the ground, I have to purpose, all right, and set out to be self-controlled because it doesn't come naturally. As wonderful as you all may think that I am, sometimes I'm not quite as lovable as I appear. Rhonda, don't say anything. Okay. All right. By the way, Miss Patty sends her regrets. She's working. She's back to work. I don't know if you all remember, know this, but she had some major surgery not too long ago, and she's working, but when she gets done at the end of the day, she's done. And she's been, I don't know if you can tell, I'm still dealing with this sinus thing she's had. She got that too because of her, I guess her resistance, her immunity was lowered, so, she would be here otherwise. She'll be here Sunday, and she says, hey, and she loves you. She's the lover in this family. She really is. She didn't have to say a word. It tickles me. You know, when Patty's gone, everybody goes, well, where's Patty? When Pastor Mark's gone, nobody says anything. It's like, what? What's up with that? No, I'm just teasing. Pam says that's not true. All right. So make sure the next time, if I'm not here, say, where's Pastor Mark? All right. Self-control must be exercised one day at a time. Self-control exercise daily produces what? Perseverance. All right, because if you set out every day and you're self-controlled, you're going to persevere, okay? But it's one day at a time, day after day after day. All right, we display self-control as we engage in daily habits that lead to the achievement of our goals. Now, how do we do that? Remember we talked about habits? Bible reading. Anybody in here ever struggled to get into the Word? Come on, I want to see the hands. Anybody in here besides me struggled to get into the Word? Or more importantly, or maybe this is more common, boy, I knew I should have gotten in the Word more. I should be in the Word more. We all do that. We should. We all should. What do you think, Pastor Bob? Shouldn't we all be in the Word more? And I don't know if anybody's in the Word more than he is. He gets up really early in the morning. I'm still hitting the snooze on my iPhone when Pastor Bob's already up leading people in prayer. That convicts me. All right, but I rationalize because I'm on my iPhone looking at the verse of the day. Patty asked me this morning, she goes, well, how do you know what to read when you get up for your devotional? I wanted to say, well, the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my sleep and just led me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The truth is, I pull up the verse of the day on my little Bible application and look at the verse of the day, and you can hit the bottom where it says, read whole verse. Right? And then, no, all joking aside, I hit full verse, all right, and then I go back and I read the full chapter, all right, and then I try to make sense of it, say, okay, where is it in context? What are they saying? What is Paul saying to the Corinthians in his first chapter, his first letter? What's he saying, and how does that apply to me? All right, well, that's fine. I'm going to be transparent. There's no mystical, holy method behind it. Whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes. So, you know, I hear it all the time. People say, well, Pastor Mark, how do you stay on this? And how do you stay, you know, and he constantly, I share this all the time at the altar when people come forth for prayer. You know, it's, and he breathes this to me all the time. Tell them, Mark, to quit trying so hard. Sometimes we just try too hard. We're too hard on ourselves. Now, that has nothing to do with perseverance and hanging in there and purpose and having self-control and all that. But sometimes we just try too hard. You know, any of you all in here ever played sports or athlete or played golf or anything like that? You know, we have the term called, my mind just went blank. That happens. Does it happen to anybody besides me? Okay. All right. When you're in a slump, for like in baseball, for example, pressing is the word I was looking for. All right, that's the athletic term. When you start pressing, in football, same way, if you're trying too hard, things just seem to get worse and worse and worse the harder you try. Has anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. Instead of just taking a deep breath, getting back to the basics, saying, okay, I've done this before, and I've done it well, and I can do it again, all right, with his help. All right, do you hear me? Sometimes some of you, he's just telling that, he's just breathing that into my spirit right now to relax, chill, take five, okay? Don't put so much pressure on yourself. Self-control is not the same thing as beating yourself up and pressing and feeling guilty and all those other things. Those are all impediments of truly staying on the course. All right, and keeping your first love, all right? Now, perseverance is fed when we exercise self-control one day at a time, day after day after day after day after day, perseverance. Even when you don't want to. There's times where I'd rather take a butt-whipping, like I said before, than do certain things, but I force myself to do the things I don't want to do and to go places I don't want to go because I know I'm going to grow from it, okay? Now, that's not to be confused with going areas you know you shouldn't. I mean, that's a totally different thing. Okay? How are we doing? Boy, we're doing good on time. Is my watch right? Shoot, y'all stay 9 o'clock good? Okay. All right, just checking. All right, here we go. Associate with like-minded individuals. Okay? Individuals who are striving for similar goals through similar habits, doing similar things. Okay? Who understand the need for perseverance. Okay? Who understand, who don't get discouraged easily and are willing to come alongside and support and encourage. Henri Nouwen really gave us a good thing. He says compassion. All right, and that's what it takes in order to stand alongside of somebody. Here goes another quote. Compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into the places of pain, to share in brokenness, fear, confusion, and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. Compassion means immersion in the condition of being human. That's going where, being willing to go where it hurts. How many of you can honestly say you've got a friend in your life that is willing to go with you no matter how bad it hurts? There's a few. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Just recently, we've experienced that, okay? Patty and I are both cancer survivors, and she experienced that, this weird reaction to all these people that were so, you know, and it wasn't because they didn't love her, but because they were afraid to go where it hurts, because sometimes when we see a friend hurt or become sick, we internalize, all right, and we say, oh, that can happen to me, and we shy from it, and we shy from it, and what happens? We take away our own opportunity to experience pain, all right, and we do what? We limit the possibilities for growth, because I'm telling you, folks, there is growth in the pain. And I stand before you, I've experienced it all, physical, emotional, I'm sure a lot of you have too. Sure have too. You know, you have too. Associate with like-minded individuals, all right, and this is why church attendance is so important, and service. Get around people that are that put Jesus first. All right, because let's face it, out in the world, it's tough. You have to have that reinforcement. I don't know about you, but I need to be surrounded by people. Otherwise, I'm going to slip. I came out of law enforcement, boy, foul mouth stuff. I mean, cop, there's a lot of good cops, but boy, the temptations are tremendous. Something between that and the military, uniforms. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I used to be a lot thinner. Anyway, where was I? All right, number three, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize with a clear picture of your ultimate goal. This was Paul's secret to perseverance. All right, what do you say? Do not lose heart in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Do not lose heart. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep it in front of you. Who is the prize? Relationship and eternal life with him. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Everybody said, you know, I used to be afraid to say that. I really was. I was pastoring and afraid to say that because I didn't want to leave right now. But I tell you what, I can't think of anything better. Yeah, I love where I am here on the earth. And I love doing what I do. But nothing surpasses the rest of eternity with him. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize, okay? It also enabled Jesus to endure. Hebrews chapter 12, I alluded to before, who for the joy set before him endured what? The cross. He endured the cross. I tell you what, I did a series not too long ago about the 24 hours before Jesus went to the cross. And I had an opportunity to dissect, and I did a study. I read a study from a forensic pathologist who reconstructed what Jesus actually went through physiologically, right, during the crucifixion. And even prior to that, the beatings and when he was hung and the pressure on his lungs and what happens with fluid built up and all those things. And when I think of the endurance that it took, because what, he kept his eye on the prize. Yeah, he tried to pass it off. He asked, Lord, if you can take this, but your will ultimately be done. And he endured the cross, all right? So I tell you what, if he can go through all that, I can endure a little bit of financial hardship. I can go through 8 surgeries. The thing is, you can do it. You can do it. Keep your eye on the prize. With an appreciation of the daily habits, how Bible reading produces spiritual growth, okay? The Bible talks about like newborn babies craving spiritual milk so that by it you may what? Grow up. Grow up. Grow up and mature. We talked about that before. How prayer leads to freedom from anxiety through the peace of God in Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God we're talking about that passes all understanding. We say it all the time, but do we avail ourselves of it? Allow it to happen, to experience the peace of God, to allow it to happen. How encouraging one another protects against apostasy. You say, what in the world's apostasy? That's getting away from God, turning your back. Apostasy, Hebrews chapter 3, that none of you have a sinful and unbelieving heart that turns what? Away from the living God. He's a living God. He's not just something that's up there, some mystical being, whatever, just sits up on a throne or whatever, and we just read about. He's active and alive, and he's a prayer-answering God, and he hears us. He hears us. Bottom line, we will persevere as long as we remain focused on our ultimate goal and what it takes to get there. Oh, Pastor Mark, we could have left that last part out. And what it takes to get there. That's the part we want to forget about. What it takes to get there, because that's the part that's painful. Takes some effort. Sure does. There's a lot of times in my life I would have left that part out. Because why? You know, who in here doesn't want to take the shortcut? All right? Anybody in here got GPS, navigational systems? All right, you got that real-time stuff that gives you traffic and whatever, so you get the shortcuts, so you can bypass everything. Got to get there quicker. Got a microwave society. We want it now, yesterday. We want the most for the least. We want the biggest return on the smallest investment. All right, the other day I was watching, there's a new TV series called Golden Boy. It's about a cop. It's one of the few cop shows I watch. Everybody thinks because I'm an ex-cop and I love cop shows, and I don't. I think they're ridiculous. A lot of that stuff really paints us bad. All that dash cam stuff where the cops are making big mistakes and getting beat up. They deserve half the time because they make stupid mistakes, and it's a poor rendition of a good police officer. But anyway, right, Golden Boy talks about whether this one partner was talking to the other about the growth of this young rookie, and he used an old Indian folklore thing. He says, each man has two dogs within him. one good and one evil. And then he asked the question, which one prevails? It's the one you feed. And I heard that and I said, man, I hadn't heard that in a long time. That is good, all right? You're going to go to the side of the dog that you feed, all right? If you feed the one that's forgotten who the first love is or should be, all right, you're in trouble. Okay, you're in trouble. Summation. In the parable of the sower, there are two soils. Here we go. First one. Rocky soil. That's the soil that receives the word with joy, but endures only temporarily. That's most of us. We read the word, praise God, hallelujah, but it's temporary. All right? Good soil. Good soil keeps the word and bears fruit with patience and endurance. Luke chapter 8. Perseverance being the difference, the obvious difference between the two. Perseverance, hanging in there. If spiritual growth is to occur, we have to realize, one, a good beginning by itself is not enough. Just because you start out good and don't do anything else, doesn't matter. Past progress or successes don't count. Okay? Three, we need perseverance today, tomorrow, the day after, and the day after, and the day after, and so on. Okay? Now, write this down. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. It says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't throw away your confidence. Okay? Persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, remember what he says, if you pray according to the will of God, you have what you ask for? Okay. You will receive what he has promised. Praise God. Now, I'm going to read this. Okay. Here we go. Matthew 10, 22. Forget that one. Romans 5, 3, 4. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces what? Hope. All right, how about you? When I have hope out there, I'm going for it. I can persevere when I have hope. All right, we're the only hope stealers. Us, ourselves, okay. 1 Timothy 4, 16. Keep a close watch on yourself and on teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save what? Both yourself and your hearers, okay? All right, and everybody ready? We're going to wrap up real quick. I'm going to give you a couple quick quotes, and these things are really, really super, okay? Anybody ever heard of Rick Warren? Becoming like Christ is a long, slow process of growth. Okay, here we go. T.D. Jakes. Oh, I love T.D. Bishop Jakes. All right, many of us harbor hidden low self-esteem. We deem everything and everyone more important than ourselves and think that meeting their needs is more important than meeting our own. But if you run out of gas, everyone riding with you will be left stranded. Did you hear that? Sometimes you got to take care of yourself first, folks. All right, are you no good to anybody else? And I go on and on and on, we're out of time. If anybody wants to hear the rest of those quotes, there's some really good stuff. Come on up here, read it, I'll talk to you about it. But I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed this, and I'm excited because I know if you've taken to heart anything that was said tonight, all right, you're going to feel better. Everybody looks at your neighbor again and say, hang in there, it's going to get better. All right, and that's a promise because it has for me because I've done it and I'm continuing to do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you and we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to give us the strength, give us the sense of your presence. Help us to keep our eye on the prize and to keep our first love, the right love, first. Protect us, Lord. Give us comfort and support as we go about seeking your face, but more importantly, knowing your heart, because it's in knowing your heart that we know we can't help but persevere and come out victorious on the end. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Y'all, I love you. Be safe going home. Hang around, love on somebody, hug somebody. Be nice. Go eat a snack. Go to bed. Night, night.